From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Whether you rang in the new year or were fast asleep by that point, you probably know when the ball dropped in Times Square, we officially fell over the so-called fiscal cliff. The House and Senate went into a sudden death overtime to work out a budget bill. Yesterday, finally, they hammered out an agreement all sides could live with. Maybe. Marketplace's David Gura joins us now to talk about the details of this bill. David Gura, welcome back.
Hey, Callie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. When last we spoke, I predicted you'd be there all through the holiday as they hammered out this deal. And in fact, you were.
I'm sorry to say you were right. Yes, that's true. I was here. I was here in Washington.
All right. Well, we know that there is a deal. What we know is that only 85 Republicans supported it, though John Boehner and Paul Ryan, architect of another kind of budget plan, both voted in favor of it. But what we don't know are all of the details about what was averted and what we can expect. Break it down for us, if you would.
Yeah, so as you said, this sort of came together here yesterday. It started with the Senate voting on its deal around 2 a.m., so they really put that together at the last minute. And then, you know, fewer than 24 hours later, the House got together and voted on it. So it was super fast-tracked, and they finally got it through, finally voted on it at 11 p.m. last night. I can report, I checked this before I before this interview, that everyone in the Massachusetts delegation did, in fact, vote in favor of the deal. So what we have are a, sort of a new definition of what the wealthy are, who the wealthy are, rather. That's folks who make $400,000 a year, households that make $450,000 a year. And really sort of those Bush-era tax cuts, tax rates have been made permanent now for most Americans. Indeed, those who do meet that wealthy threshold will be paying a bit more in taxes going forward.
All right. And I've heard that the unemployment benefits got extended for another year. Those are the federal benefits that kick in when the state-funded benefits run out.
Yeah, and this is something we were talking about last time I was on the show. I mean, this mattered to a whole lot of people. I think about 2 million people who were relying on these long-term unemployment benefits. And when you talk about how we went over the cliff and then climbed our way back up, we had this sort of safety net and got back up. I mean, those benefits did expire on Saturday, so this deal will restore those. You know, people who have gotten sort of the customary 26-week period of unemployment benefits had been eligible to get, I think, 47 additional weeks of unemployment benefits. That's going to continue at a cost of about $30 billion.
So what about payroll tax cuts? Are they in place? Did we avoid that? What's going on there?
All right, so this is a big issue, and we're going to say goodbye to those payroll tax cuts that we've had in place for about 2 years. These are the payroll taxes that finance Social Security. That's going to go from 4.2% up to 6.2%. So that's going to rise on a whole lot of people. The Tax Policy Center, a group here in Washington, a nonpartisan group, has crunched the numbers. And they expect that about 77% of households are going to pay a larger share of income to the federal government because that payroll tax cut is going away. So when you look at, you know, the savings you might get because those rates stay the same, the income tax rates stay the same, they're going to kind of be offset by the fact that payroll tax cut is going away.
So, in fact, since we did go over the cliff, what we're talking about here is a retroactive bill to a large extent, going back to correct some things that happened when we fell over the cliff. It reminds me a little bit of Coyote in the cartoon, you know, falling over the cliff and then freeze framing.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like that. It's sort of everything, some things you can make happen again miraculously because of this. But does it happen immediately or does it take 2 weeks, months for it to kick back in?
You know, it's going to take a little while, and I checked to see whether or not President Obama signed this bill into law before he hopped on the helicopter and the plane to get back to Hawaii, where his family has been on vacation. He's there now. As far as I can ascertain, he has not signed it yet. It's still going through some congressional procedure. But you're right. I mean, there was a lot of stuff to figure out. It can be put in place retroactively. So, for instance, with those unemployment benefits, they're going to be restored, the government says, and people who missed any of those benefits will get those retroactively. You know, one thing that the IRS was talking about before the new year was just how much they had to do logistically to get stuff in place that, you know, If the tax rates were going to change, they'd have to redo forms. They'd have to train staff to be able to respond to questions about what those rates would be. And, you know, before the new year, there was talk of, you know, what happens if we go over and then go back. you know, just pushes these agencies into a bit of disarray because they're planning for one thing and then all of a sudden they're going back. So it's like turning a battleship here on a dime. It's not that easy to do.
But as I understand it, the IRS had just sort of gone into a holding pattern, so they didn't have so it didn't have to do that right away. At least.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, it was sort of to Congress and the government's advantage that yesterday was a holiday. I mean, Washington was pretty quiet except for what was happening up on the Hill and maybe at the White House. And, you know, another kind of bonus of that was that the markets were closed as well. So the fact that we had gone over the cliff, there was no sort of immediate reaction, immediate response from the markets because most of them were closed.
I'm talking with David Gura of Marketplace. He is based in Washington, D.C., where he worked the holiday following the fiscal cliff legislation negotiation up until the last moment. Now, you just mentioned the markets, and they were closed, but they're open today and apparently responding very positively. What does that mean for the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I think that all along we'd heard that what the markets wanted was some certainty, that there'd been so much uncertainty for really the last 2 years. I mean, we think of the fiscal cliff as, I guess the phrase sort of came about within these last few months, sort of came into our lexicon in the last couple of months. But, you know, Congress has been debating these issues for about 2 years now, and that's led to a lot of uncertainty in the markets. They got a little bit of that. They got a deal. So, yeah, as you said, I mean, Standard & Poor's is up. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up. NASDAQ's up. So the markets are reacting pretty favorably. Folks I've talked to have said that's likely to continue with a caveat, knowing that, you know, really what this deal has done has pushed forward just a couple of months some of the big decisions that Congress is going to have to make. And, you know, in these intervening couple of months, there may be more debate, more uncertainty what's going to happen, and we could see that effect in the markets.
Well, this vote, of course, was all in the big political context, and it's being touted as at least a nominal victory for the president. But Republicans are not faring as well at this moment, speaking of this 2-month delay. This is the first time in 2 decades that Republicans voted for tax increases, and there weren't any cuts to go along with it. So we know that that proverbial can that's been kicked down the road for 2 months is coming back. At that time, will we be doing this same kind of last minute up against the wall, maybe not, maybe yes, conversation and negotiation?
You know, I hate to say it, but I think that we probably will be. And you know, after Congress passed this last night, President Obama took to the podium and said that he doesn't want to have to negotiate with Congress again about raising the debt ceiling. This is that sort of mechanism that allows the government to pay bills that it's already incurred. And what Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said just a couple days ago was we hit that ceiling on December 31st. And through some extraordinary measures, as he put it, the Treasury Department's able to keep paying those bills probably until the end of February, early March. But as you said, it's setting up this whole nother debate that's going to happen there in March. And when you talk about political leverage, I think what Republicans are counting on is that there is going to be a debate over raising that debt ceiling again. And that's going to coincide with a couple other things. The spending bill that's kept the government running, that's set to expire on March 27th. And, you know, that could be some way by which Republicans could use as leverage. They could use that as leverage to talk about maybe tax reform or maybe reform of so-called entitlement, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all of that.
One last question. The Congress did not vote on the $600 billion package to help victims of Hurricane Sandy. Was that because that money would kick up the debt even further? What was the issue there that they didn't vote on that?
I'm not sure if that was the issue, but this is something that I think has upset a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, especially from those states, New Jersey and New York. I mean, as we've said, this was down to the wire. The vote on the tax deal was down to the wire. This was something that the House could have brought up, and indeed, I mean, it's the 112th Congress is still in session here for you know a few more hours. They didn't, and this was a $60 billion measure that would have helped those states rebuild after Sandy. In all likelihood, I think the 113th Congress will take up that issue again. Obviously, the slate is struck clean, and you know they'll have to come up with a new bill of their own in the 113th Congress. But as I said, we've heard from representatives from New Jersey, New York, and from President Obama the great deal of disappointment that Congress didn't take up that issue before they left.
Well, David Gura of Marketplace, I know you're a student of history. In fact, you have a degree in it. So I'm guessing we're going to be talking about this a lot in the next couple of months. And thank you today for talking with us and breaking it down.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Marketplace's David Gura joined us to talk about a resolution to the budget crisis. And we will move on and hear more about it in the upcoming weeks and months. Up next, Emily Rooney talks Boston sports with longtime Boston Globe writer Bob Ryan. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to Boston Public Radio.